الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى وعن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال تكف شرك عن الناس أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم Honorable Sheikh, respected ulama, brothers and friends, regarding the nafs, our Hazrat has given a very detailed and very in-depth explanation last night, and that is the tazkiyah of the nafs itself, and what are the harms when tazkiyah of the nafs is not made. Regarding the tazkiyah of the nafs itself, Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Sahib have summed up whatever I need to say in a very few words. He said it's farz-e-ayn, the message that he conveyed. My purpose today is through the light of the ayat of the Quran, try to make myself and all of us understand that what is the status, what is the status of the tazkiyah of the nafs. Regarding the tazkiyah of the nafs, what are the injunctions of the Quran, what is the significance of it, and how important is it in our lives. From all the creations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, we find the nature and the fitrat of the malaika is to do only good. They never commit sin, they never commit any evil. Likewise, the ghalib nature of shayateen is to do evil. Their fitrah, and that is, their inclination is only to do evil, to cause harm, to spread chaos, etc. It is this insan who Allah Ta'ala has created, and Allah Ta'ala says, وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا, that I have perfected his nafs, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا, and I have inspired him with two things, فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, to be able to do that which is evil and to be able to do that which is good. That means he has the potential within him to do wrong, to do harmful things, and he has the potential to do that which is good, that which is liked by Allah. But then Allah Ta'ala immediately brings the ayat, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. What Allah would love is to that person who will purify his nafs, who will make the tazkiyah of his nafs. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And that person who fails to make the tazkiyah of his nafs, he has soiled himself. That means he has failed. He has not achieved his purpose of creation. Now keeping this in mind, we need to understand, many times we have a simple example of life. We find a person is in the first saf in the musalla. He has got a nice mashallah beard, shari'i libas, amama, everything. But when this person becomes angry, and his anger overpowers him, then sometimes such obscenities come out from his mouth, or such things come out, and the person says, he doesn't know me, I'll show him what I can do to him. Is it himself? That is the time when his nafs has now taken over him. He had the power to control himself, but because that nafs was not worked upon, now that nafs becomes, overpower him, and it tells him, I will show you what. Now you sit and you think, Ya Allah, this person, he's so pious, he looks so holy, everything. How could he have said such a thing? How could he have done such a thing? The truth of the affair is, all that piety, etc. is on its place. But the tazkiyah of the nafs hasn't been made. The tazkiyah of the nafs hasn't been made. So this is what we need to understand. Ulama writes that there is two conditions. One is tazkiyah, tazkiyatul qalb and one is tazkiyatul nafs. There is a big difference between the two. Tazkiyatul qalb means to keep the heart clean. A lot of our times we say, but my heart is clean, my heart is clean. Yeah, my heart is clean. Nobody says anybody's heart is dirty. But the tazkiyah is not necessarily made. Doesn't mean if the heart is clean, the tazkiyah is made. No. The example to understand what is tazkiyatul qalb and what is tazkiyatul nafs, ulama has explained it in a very, very simple manner. He says, one is you find a glass or a tabletop and it is full of dust. You take a wet cloth and you wipe over it, it gets clean. Likewise, our heart, when we do evil, the black spot settles. It is like the steel that it becomes rusted. But when you take the cleaner for it and you clean it, it gets clean. That rust goes away. A wet cloth takes the dust away. So the qalb has become clean by making zikr, etc. But it doesn't mean that tazkiyah of the nafs has taken place. The tazkiyah of the nafs is another avenue on its own. And how will you understand that if this cloth here becomes soiled and it becomes dirty? Now if I take a wet cloth and just wipe it over, will it go clean? No. I will need the necessary amount of detergent, the correct detergent, the water I need. That cloth will have to be worked upon, it will have to be rubbed, it will have to be wrinkled, sometimes it even needs to be hit, it needs to go into the washing machine, the cycle they have to go through, and after a process, now that dirt which was ingrained in that cloth is now removed. And that is what is tazkiyah of the nafs. That ingrained qualities, which are evil qualities, hasad, bughd, adawat, fina, jealousy, all that we've been hearing over the past two and a half, three days, all that needs to be cleaned, that needs to go through a cycle, it needs to come out of the system. That cannot just come out by making zikr, that cannot just come out by making tira. Yes, the noor of it will be there, but the effort has to be made. The effort has to be made. And how do we make that effort? Naturally, ulama have written three things. They say the first is, you need to give yourself into the care of a sheikh, a kamil. Such a sheikh who himself has confined his life to the reins of Sharia. Today we find a lot of shuyukh, but then they start doing things which is out of the confines of Sharia. Such a person cannot make tazkiyah, because his tazkiyah he needs to be made himself. Those shuyukh who make tazkiyah within the confines of Sharia. Like for example, if you see a Muslim woman and she gives a salam, it's my sister, I just made salam with her. But Rasulullah ﷺ was not allowed to make salam. Who are we? Who is the sheikh? So to have a sheikh who is within the confines of Sharia, number one. Number two, ittiba'i sunnah. A sheikh who is 100% on sunnah, that sheikh is the one who will put you on sunnah, who will give you that sunnah. And naturally that sheikh, like our sheikh, who makes that mujahada, who makes that effort, who puts you through a cycle where you go through a lot of qurbani, where you go and a lot of things that you personally like, which is disliked in Sharia, makes you leave all those things, then indeed you can say, now the tazkiyah of a person is in the process. Also to come to understand, if we really sit down and ponder, Iblis himself, he was known as Tawusul Malaika. He was actually the pride or the crown of the Malaika. He made so much ibadat. Ulama writes for 70,000 years, he didn't make the nafarmani, not for a moment. But the day Allah Ta'ala asked him to prostrate in front of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no other shaitan to mislead him. What misled him? His nafs misled him. That tazkiyah was not made inside. That pride was not taken out. That misled him. So if that pride could have misled a being who made ibadah for 70,000 years, how far is it that it can stop from misleading us as well? And to understand this whole concept of tazkiya, how important it is, how necessary it is, how thorough it is, we have to understand from the ayat of the Quran, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam completed, after he went through different trials and tribulations, and Allah Ta'ala used him to construct the Ka'batullah. After Allah made him his friend, Allah used him to construct the Ka'batullah. And after constructing the Kaaba, as a reward, Allah asked him, now you ask, what you want? So Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam made few du'as. Among that he said, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Oh Allah, whatever I have done, it needs your acceptance. If you accept, it is worth it. If you don't accept, it means nothing. No matter how much effort we make, but it needs to be accepted in the eyes of Allah. Secondly, he said, رَبَّنَا وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكْ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكْ. He was worried of himself, his own submission to Allah, and the submission of his progeny, that we must always be amongst those of Allah who will submit to you. Not for a moment must we bow our head in front of anybody else or any other ideology. And then the third dua, which is the topic of my discussion, Ibrahim alayhi salam made, he said, رَبَّنَا وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكُ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. That Allah amongst my progeny also send such a Nabi, such a person who will read and recite the Kitab on them, who will give them the knowledge of the Kitab, who will give them the necessary wisdom and hikmah, and who will make the tazkiyah. This was the dua Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed accepted the dua. But when Allah ta'ala showed the acceptance, Allah ta'ala gave the answer of the dua in another ayat. He said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةُ. That, O Ibrahim, your dua has been accepted. My ihsan on your ummah will be, I will send such a Nabi who will make tilawat of the Quran to them, who will purify them first. And after purifying them, he will teach them the knowledge of the Kitab. And then he will teach them wisdom. Every ayat in the Quran, every word in the Quran has been placed for a specific reason. There is no ayat that has just come haphazard. Every ayat has a purpose. Every word in the Quran, wherever it is, it has a purpose. To understand it very briefly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the fetus in the womb of the mother, Allah ta'ala talks of the creation of insan in the womb of the mother. Then Allah ta'ala says, فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. That Allah ta'ala first created the ears, the complete organ of the ear. Then Allah ta'ala creates the complete organ of the eye. When this was said, it is something that was said for a purpose. Today the medical journal and the scientists have researched, and they've seen that when the fetus is created in the stomach of the mother, in the belly of the mother, the first complete organ that is created is the ear. And then after that the eye. And the reason they give is this ear has a canal which stores the fluid, and that fluid keeps the balance of the body. So if that ear was not made with that fluid, when the other organs would have been created, there would have been an imbalance. So to keep the balance, Allah Ta'ala created the ear first. And Allah says, فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. I first created the ear, and then every other organ has come into existence. So here Allah Ta'ala says, I have given your dua, I have accepted. You made dua for يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. But I will give you a Nabi, يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكْ, who will recite the Quran to them. And then, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, will first make the tazkiyah. After the tazkiyah is made, then they will understand the true knowledge of Quran. Then they will understand that they will get the true wisdom. And that is what the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala repeatedly used to say, تَعَلَّمْنَا الْقُرْآنَ تَعَلَّمْنَا الْإِيمَانَ ثُمَّ تَعَلَّمْنَا الْقُرْآنَ. First, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us iman. What was that iman that they referred to? He made the tazkiyah of our nafs. So that when the injunctions of the Quran came, he could immediately submit to it. When the order came, leave liquor, it wasn't to say, let me just take this last shot. That whatever that covenant was there, it was immediately thrown away. Why? Because the tazkiyah of the nafs was made. And just to understand the significance and the importance of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever He mentions the theme in the Quran, Allah ta'ala takes an oath. And He emphasizes that theme with an oath. Like many, many different places, Allah ta'ala says, وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الطَّارِقُ وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ etc., etc. But when Allah ta'ala wanted to emphasize the significance of the tazkiyah of the nafs, Allah didn't take one or two oaths. It is one of the only locations in the Quran where Allah took seven oaths. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. Seven oaths Allah Ta'ala took. That this is how important it is for you, insan, to make the tazkiyah of your nafs. Without that, there is nothing. You haven't achieved my purpose of your creation. You haven't achieved what I have created you for. And there are two processes for this tazkiyah. Very briefly, there are two processes for this tazkiyah. One is the easy one. Seems difficult, but it is the easy option. Is in this world, we make the effort for it. And the effort for it is what? To go to the company of a sheikh, like alhamdulillah we have Hazrat Wala in our presence, and other mashayikh who people's heart inclined to, and let them make the tazkiyah of our nafs. What will happen in the process? The necessary process will take place, the different prescriptions will be given, the different advices will be given, you will be asked to sacrifice those things which you like, which is actually a dislike in Sharia. It is a process, it is a mujahada. But that is one process, to go through this effort in this world. And inshallah, when a person takes this, as we've just heard a little while earlier, once you're on this path, then as you are on this path, Allah Ta'ala knows the intention. Allah Ta'ala makes it easy. And however far Allah wants to take you on this path, Allah will take you. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا. You cannot purify yourself without your own will and your own desire. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَى. Allah Ta'ala will give you the strength of purifying yourself to the ability and level He wants to give you. But the effort we have to make. The effort we have to make. Secondly, if this process of tazkiyah is not done in this world, and Allah forbid we have to leave without it, when we come into the qabr, now the tazkiyah process starts. And the very first thing that happens, the qabr comes and it closes. And whatever our desires and passions were, it squeezes them out of us. That is what you enjoyed in the dunya, you do not deserve to be here with it. That is the first step. As you go further on, all the haram that we used to do, all the haram that we saw, all the haram that we heard, all the haram that we earned, this was all this haram and this pleasure, the taste of that haram, you are not entitled to Jannah. Now you need to go to Jahannam. Then there you are burned, you are punished. Actually, what is being happening there? Now the tazkiyah has been made. So you, totally in your heart and mind, you come to realize whatever enjoyment I had in the dunya was no enjoyment. It really wasn't enjoyment. The pleasure of it is taken out of you. And once that is completed, then Allah Ta'ala says, وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. My Jannah is the reward for those whose tazkiyah has been made. Till that tazkiyah is not made, Jannah will not be given as a reward. So this is the reality we need to understand. That it is not, as Maulana Yusuf Saab brought the message, it is not an option, or it is not optional to make tazkiyah. It is fard-e-ain, it is compulsory. And in the light of Quran and Sunnah, for every person to strive and make the effort that once we are in this world, we need to make an effort to start making our tasbih. Allah Ta'ala accepts and Allah Ta'ala takes us to the level He wants to take us. And we need to make dua. Also, as it has been told to us, whatever we do, we need to make dua. And with it, we need to make the dua. Oh Allah, the little that I have done, in reality, I could not fulfill the right of it. I tried whatever I could have tried. رَبَّنَا أَتْمِمْ لَنَا نُورَنَا وَاخْسِرْ لَنَا إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. You complete it with your mercy. You accept it. It is like that one man who killed 100 people. And he was now looking for forgiveness. And he ran to one great priest and he said, what is my way out? He killed 99 people. He said, what is my way out? He said, there's nothing for you. 99 people you already killed. What more you want? So he said, there's a case in 100 you. And he put him also away. Then he realized that, no man, there must be something for me. And then somebody told him, in such a distant land, there's a pious person, go to him. And when he started going in that direction, Allah Ta'ala ordered his soul to be removed. Immediately the malaika from the heavens, both the good and the bad, came to take his soul. Now the question was, who should take it? So they went back to Allah, Ya Allah, who must bring his soul? Allah Ta'ala says, justice needs to be done. If he is closer to where he left from, then the people, the malaika of evil will bring his soul. And if he is closer to where he has to go to, that means he was on his path to making forgiveness and coming right, then the angels of good will bring his soul. In reality, he was closer to where he left from. But Allah Ta'ala knew the intention and Allah instructed the earth on the other side to shrink. And when the earth shrunk, the angels went back to Allah and said, Ya Allah, he is closer to where he was supposed to get to. Allah said, then let the angels of good bring his soul. So once we are on that path, inshallah, trusting in Allah, making dua to Allah, Allah will take us ultimately. وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ